innovation is a critically important part of achieving energy transition goals. It allows us to develop and harness new technologies that can drive efficiencies and decarbonization. However, in order to foster innovation in a way that adds maximum value and to innovate at the speed and scale needed to achieve net zero, we need to develop partnerships. It's about forming the right partnerships with the right stakeholders to ensure the boldest and best ideas are realized. To learn more about this and to explore how ABB is leveraging the power of partnerships and collaboration across essential industries, I spoke to Linda Wenberg, Agile Unit Leader, Sustainable Energy at ABB's Smart Power Division. Linda highlights how effective collaboration enables the sharing of resources, expertise, and risks so innovation can thrive. This episode is brought to you in partnership with ABB Sustainable Energy Unit. The unit leverages advanced technologies to optimize, electrify, and decarbonize industries like renewables, electrical distribution, and microgrids. Their tailored, low-voltage solutions address the unique challenges of the evolving energy transitions landscape. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you on such an important topic for our energy transition. But before we delve into how to leverage partnerships and really drive innovation, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at ABB Smart Power.
Thanks a lot, Pamela, for having me as well. Well, first of all, everything is really exciting about the role since I'm very new to it. And it's super exciting to be contributing to the energy transition. In my old role, I was focused on reducing the environmental footprint in our factories by, for example, being more energy efficient, reducing waste, generating renewable energy on site, and also working with our suppliers to do the same. My new team, they actually focus on creating solutions within the renewables for our customers within wind, solar, microgrids, hydrogen, among others. So it's all very new and exciting for me.
So you really are on the front line of where the innovation is actually needed. So it makes sense that talking about this is really important to ABB. And I think it's important to understand that. Why is this topic so important to be talking about right now?
Well, first of all, just to make it easier to understand, Smart Power, our division, is the part of ABB that addresses the low voltage electrification challenges. So this could be connecting and protecting a solar farm or a wind farm, or even a data center or a semiconductor factory. So what we do is we help our customers or industries around the world operate more safely, comfortably, and consistently, while at the same time helping them decarbonize and improving their efficiency so that they can, what we call, outperform. And at ABB, we call this outrun, helping our customers become leaner and cleaner. With the sustainability targets, the world needs electrification more than ever. 50% of the decarbonization in the world will be driven by electrifying. So electricity will grow 10 times more than any other energy source. And this electricity, we for sure want to come from renewable sources. So we have to triple the integration of renewable sources by 2030. So requiring a lot of investment in our grid, we say about 50% higher annual investments than we are giving today. And the third thing we need is also to use this energy more efficiently. So to reach the net zero by 2050, we have to double the energy efficiency improvements by 2030. So this really means more energy efficient products, solutions, and processes, basically in all areas. And what I think is important here is that we really can't do this alone. I mean, it's neither ABB nor anyone else. We really need to work together to succeed. So forming these, what we can call them, partnerships is crucial to drive innovation. Partnerships and collaborations, I mean, they enable us of sharing resources and expertise, but also sharing risks. So accelerating the development of new technologies, for example. Here at ABB Electrification and our Smart Power division, we play a crucial role because we have a big opportunities in innovation for this ongoing energy transitions. So with our solutions and products really being a partner to the teams around the world. Our customers, they don't need a supplier, they need this innovation partner. You know, I came from the operations, and we usually say what gets measured gets done. So also we have a lot of solutions that can measure and analyze the energy consumption. For example, ABB Ability. So it lets us understand where are the most energy intensive loads and act. We can replace old motors, old generations of drives for the new generations that are more efficient and reliable. Or as we do in the operations, make sure that the equipment when we're not using it is turned off so we don't waste energy unnecessarily. So that I would say is why it's so important to work on all these aspects.
It's well said that the customer doesn't need a supplier. They need an innovation partner, which I think really just speaks to how ABB's role is changing within the sector, just in terms of how you can create and provide value for your customers. I think if I just pivot slightly, looking at innovation specifically, it really does come down to acceleration and scalability to ensure that the innovation is actually creating value. Am I correct?
No, but I agree. Both accelerating and scaling are important for maximizing the opportunities. I think we need to accelerate the development and deployment of the new technologies, to innovate or to make sure that the innovation can be implemented quickly and addressing, it's quite urgent, all these topics. And then scaling up the production really reduces the costs and make technologies more affordable. I can give you an example. 15 to 20 years ago, solar panels for consumers cost about €2 per watt. 10 years ago, the price was the same panel was €1 per watt. Today, we can find them for less than 26 per watt. And at the same time, the efficiency of them has doubled. So, we see them all around. So here's really an example of how scaling up has helped to make this accessible for everyone. So we can reach a broader market and also driving a widespread adoption. Another example is how the installation of the solar has changed. With the new wiring technologies, you don't need to dig into the ground when installing a large photovoltaic plant. The panel is just screwed into the ground. So after 25, 30 years, you can just dismantle it and have a nice green field back. So with the solar, we really expect to see a huge continued growth. By 2030, the projection is that the solar panels will produce an additional 4,000 terawatt hours, which is approximately equal to like what all of US is generating today. So the scale of the solar farms are increasing, but at the same time, the scale of the wind turbines is also growing. Today, some offshore wind turbines are already at 15 megawatt or above 200 meters. That's like the size of the Eiffel Tower. By 2030, we think that the biggest ones will be more than 20 megawatt. But as you also know, wind and solar, they rely on the weather conditions. It's not as predictable as hydro or nuclear power. So this is where energy storage, on the other hand, becomes important so that we can save the generated energy to use it when we actually need it. So in summary, to scale is changing the way solar and wind players work, also with suppliers, new technical requirements. We're delivering the components. They also need to be developed. And at the same time, creating this ecosystem where the utilities, the renewable source, batteries, they all can interact in this multi-directional grid. Here also, we have to come with new solutions. So I think that really companies that can quickly scale here and be innovative, I think we will really gain a competitive edge.
Linda, thank you for mapping that out for us. And I think what really is emphasized is the fact that we need to do this faster. There's many different moving parts. Like you said, we've got the generation, the storage, multi-directional grids. But of course, the power sector is well known for legacy infrastructure and perhaps legacy mindsets. So it's a case of innovating in a space that, it might be quite challenging in which to innovate. So tell us a little bit more about that. How do you push a legacy sector like power into a smart, digital, decarbonized future. I mean, if we take product life cycles, for example, they're decades long. So tell us about the challenges and how you overcome them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting sector to be in, but the world is really faster than ever. And our customers are requiring both these long-term breakthrough innovation, but also fast solutions to solve the problems that they have now. Within the renewables, we really see that things are happening very fast. I don't think we need to push them. They are constantly pushing their own boundaries and finding ways to increase efficiency. But instead, we really need to partner up and work together to find the best solutions for both. So what we've done is our organization is really designed to follow the needs of our customers. We have innovation teams that are really looking for this new disruptive innovation. For example, we introduced a medium voltage solid UPS or a fully certified solid state circuit breaker. But at the same time, we have solutions teams, as we call them, and they are organized in agile, multifunctional teams that can quickly go to the customer, understand their problems, and really solve their needs now. It's like taking our existing platform, making some sort of adaption or developing a bit, and then really addressing the need of our customers at this moment. For example, we just released a breaker at 7,200 amps for these large wind turbines that I was talking about.
Linda, tell me, how is this need for speed impacting the way that engineers work on energy transition solutions?
Well, so speed, it is critical. So these partnerships and collaborations are more important than ever, I would say. It changes the way that these engineers work to find solutions with this more agile, cross-disciplinary collaboration. We can also actually use new technology, such as AI and machine learning, to optimize products and solutions. In our agile way of working within the development teams, they operate, I would say, a bit more like startups. They're multidiscipline, have different functions within the same team, really empowered to identify the customer's challenges and then to quickly find the right solutions. They work very closely with all the customers and the industry partners. And then our approach is to try to really understand their future challenges and then invest in the innovation to solve those future challenges already right now.
And I think that's why a partnership is so important, because it really does give you insight into those future challenges and understand from the customer's perspective, what potential challenges are there in the future and how do you as ABB really equip yourselves in the best possible way to meet those future challenges. And ultimately, that's why without a partnership, you can't do that effectively. Am I correct?
It's not impossible to innovate without partnerships. But, you know, to explore like the bold ideas, the big, big bets, you really think bigger and more out of the box with partnerships. Outside partners that can give you new ideas, other experience, other insights. I really think that the partnerships inspire us to have effective change and also increases the skill of all the participants that we gather together. So within ABB Smart Power, we bring together different disciplines to innovate effectively, but also with our customers and our partners with a good mix to really try to deliver faster. Customers, they value these partnerships. They give us the technical requirements, they're evolving super fast, and they want someone to really be able to navigate through this and adapt quickly.
Can you give us more information about the specific startups or investments that ABB is focused on at the moment in terms of creating some of these partnerships?
Yeah, we have actually a lot of work with startups. They have, you know, their speed, they're super fast, they have expert knowledge in different fields. Last week, we finalized something we call the Startup Challenge, and the final was in Bilbao, where my team was a part of that. So they had given a mission to innovate the digital portfolio to deliver reliable and efficient electrical distribution solutions to drive the energy transition. And they found a winner, And the winner will now receive $30,000 and a collaboration project with ABB to really develop their technology and solutions ready to launch. So that's only one example. Then we have other startups that we work with. One partner is using AI to predict the financial performance of large-scale decarbonization projects to help to secure third-party financing. Another one is using AI to help optimize energy management for industrial users. And then we recently acquired SensorFact in the Netherlands, and they use smart sensors to collect data and an AI co-pilot to transform the complex data into actionable insights, helping customers reduce energy costs and emissions. And then we have other startups that we work with that are working on direct current microgrids or solid state power electronics. So we actually work a lot with different startups in different stages, I would say.
Linda, it must be really exciting to work on the front lines of innovation. What are you seeing in terms of the trends that you think will make the biggest impact when it comes to disrupting technology or specific solutions?
Well, as we talked about before, these larger scale of wind and solar farms will definitely happen. But also with these energy sources, we see the increased need for the storage solutions. But we will also see then more microgrids, either partially connected or even disconnected from the grid. And another trend is for sure the growing use of direct current, DC, in the renewable energy systems. This is due to how the renewable sources generate power, but DC also gives us improved efficiency, compatibility with the energy storage, development of DC microgrids, and all these factors make DC a very key part of this clean energy transition. I also think we might be seeing more business cases for AI applications. I don't think AI will be managing the grids, but I do see AI helping operators maximize uptime and yields.
The question, of course, is how, as a sector, do we capitalize on these trends?
Well, I really think that we have full focus on this already, but it's important to continue to talk about it, like we're doing today, exchanging our different perspectives. 2030 is coming very fast, and like we said before, we need to innovate today for tomorrow's challenges. But I think by strategically investing in renewable energy, enhancing energy storage, leveraging the digital technologies, exploring new business models, and investing in R&D and engaging with stakeholders, I think that these actions, they not only promote sustainability, but they also create new opportunities for growth and innovation in this very quickly evolving energy landscape. So really enabling the energy sector to effectively capitalize on the energy transition.
Linda, one final question for you. What is the most exciting part of your role? What do you really enjoy about working in this landscape?
It's really feeling that you're able to make an impact for the future, to really be a part of this energy transition for, you know, for the future of not only my kids, but all the future of this planet. So I think that is actually super, super motivating.
Indeed. And I think it also drives home why it's important to be constantly innovating and innovating with partners, because we are actually ultimately in this together and working towards common goals. Linda, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so, so much for joining me today and for sharing your insights.
Thanks a lot, Pamela. Thanks so much.
And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Logg, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.